So glad you're with us on our Wednesday evening prayer service, and glad you took the time to be with us. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, and want to start off tonight, number 411, if you got a hymnal at the house, and 411 if you're here. So, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's all stand and sing.
I'm going to do something that since COVID I haven't felt comfortable enough to do, but go to somebody and tell them it's good to see them here tonight and tell them you love them, okay?
Chris, good to see you.
It's good to hear laughter and fellowship and just be with one another. But it's good to see all of you tonight. So thankful you've made the effort to come out. Isn't it a beautiful day? I mean, it's amazing. Yesterday morning, there was snow on my car. That might have been Monday morning. But there was snow on my car, and it's almost 80 now. So, but praise God, He does all things well. And for those of you that's watching on Facebook or listening outside on the 88 FM, we just want to tell you thank you for being a part of us, and we're appreciative of you worshiping with us. And If you don't know, if you don't remember, or if the world's tried to cloud it in your mind, remember, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things. I do want to say thank you to Sister Phyllis and Brother Roy. We had a tear in one of our seats, and they are just outstanding. Yeah, they fixed the tear, got it looking good, and we're thankful for that. Do we have any words of praise tonight or testimony tonight? It is. I've got two sermons with me tonight, two lessons with me tonight. I still don't know what one that we're going to do. So I'll give you the option, okay? One's about John Mark, and the other is an introduction into the book of Ephesians, because we're going to be doing that study there. So think about it for a second, and we'll go through our time of prayer needs and all there. I do want to just say, though, dadgummit, that's not what I want to say, but God never ceases to amaze me in his miracles. Seeing Sister Virginia Eden the other day, just she looked so great, and just knowing what all her and Brother Rogers went through, and she told me how she just knew that the Lord was working, and then she was pronounced cancer-free. So, I mean, that is just amazing that God is still doing that. We want to pray for the lost. We want to pray for the backslidden. We want to pray for marriages, those that are bereaved, as we think of the Kecks, and then also the Sheffield family from down in Georgia, those that are depressed and dealing with different chemical imbalances and things like that, those that are affected by COVID-19. Also, I was asking Brother Chris how his week been since he's recommitted his life and been rebaptized. Let's remember those that are planting those flags again, because the devil's going to do what he can to try to knock you down a little bit. Want to continue to pray for I haven't watched anything about the war, but it's still going, I reckon, right? So want to pray for that. VBS, they've narrowed the dates down on that. We're thankful for that. Then we want to pray for Brother Recovery Through Christ and Brother Jack and Miss Tina, and then the 2022 election that's coming. So also, let's pray for Jared Collins. This is a friend of our family's that's going to be going in some police training next week, and we just promised him we'd be praying for them. Sister Melissa had to have a emergency double root canal. I think that's, isn't that what it was? And so they did that part of it today, and she has to go back tomorrow to finish it up. But you know me and mouth stuff, and just pray for her. Gene and Chuck Dennison, Gene Fannin, Wayne Bledsoe and Larry Bledsoe, they're on the road right now coming back. He had to be in Charlottesville, Charlottesville. Melanie Lester, Kathy Kynes, Mazelle Carter, Ruth Roten, Nick Roten, John Austin, Ashley Lynn, Anthony for Cancer and Salvation, J.D. Nielsen, John Bryce, Jeanette Carter, Tommy Mullins, Wilma Daniels. Let me stop right there. We have a copy of this if anybody wants one. Last time I only had two made, but all of these names are on that sheet right there if you want one. Brother Tommy Mullins, was able to talk with him. He's healing up, and just keep praying. Also, Wilma Daniels, Jasper and Pam Brown, Mary Jane Carter, Wilma Williams, Susan Lassiter, Michael Starnes, Karen McDavid, Charlie Taylor, the Stenicky family, the Scott family, Lisa Estep, Billy Carter, Aiden Jordan, Kathy Baldwin, Sherry Dean Cooper, Miranda Caldwell, Dr. Awan, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Mike Brown, Gail Stidham, Denny Lemon, Cindy Osborne, Bodessa Lawson, Jerry Flannery, Genevieve Flannery, Jewel Williams, Paul Davis, Daryl Green, Deborah Taylor, Candy Worth, Leslie and Daryl, Kim and Dale Owens, Jimmy Taylor, Hazel Dingus, Shalene Harris, Cody Carlton, Brittany Grindstaff, Daryl Hurd, Junior Wade, Brother Roger and Sister Virginia, Teresa Holden, Maggie Statzer, Betty McCorkle, Heather Markham, Kevin Tigner, Buddy McNutt, Steve Smith, Jason Knight, Pam Savarsky, Jesse Bull, Margaret Williams, CC Family, Debbie Starnes, Terry Beeler, Brandon Johnson, Randy Meeks, Chuck Kearney, Junior Stidham, Penny Horton, Kathy Smith, Charlotte Bishop, Charlene Lofton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, the Evans Family, J.T. and Gladys Jones, Billy Joe Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Ruth Osborne, Justin Bowen, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Carol Carter, Ezekiel Jordan, Robbie Jordan, Daniel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Ethan Bowen, Daisy Richards, Dakota McQueen, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Haas, David and Felicia Cantrell, Lance and Sabrina Stollard, Mr. Pippin, Haley Webb, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, John and Carmine Shoup, Chelsea LeBlanc, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Steve Neff, Linda Jackson, Helen Bowen, Liza Fletcher, Hoyt and Phyllis Bledsoe, Sister Lottie Johnson, Frank Sr. and Miss Cecilia Pennington, Mary Snodgrass, Nicholas Patrick, David Starnes, Scott Wolliver, James Connor, Evan Bach, Carly and Kennedy Sweeney, Brother Jeff, your brother, and then my mom and daddy, Randall and Edie. Remember to pray for them. Anyone else we can put on the list tonight? Okie dokie. Thank you. And if I'm going through them and I read one that needs to be taken off, don't mind to interrupt me. So that way we won't. Here, I'm going to give it back to you. Let me figure. I probably towed them somewhere. Just to be honest with you, I probably towed them off when I look and find one. No, there's some down there in the bucket. They down there in the bottom level. I don't want to reach that far. Bending over to. Any other prayer needs tonight? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the oldest one, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about being born.
Amen. I tell you what, I'm about to the point I think that there ought to be two valedictorians. One for academic and the other for vo-tech, some kind of trade or anything like that, to encourage the trades again. We need to, a lot of people. It's good jobs. If you was a woman that could weld, you can write your ticket right there. I mean, that's just the way things are. Anyone else? Thank you, Sister Fleeta. Do keep praying for Amy and her headaches. She's going to see about getting the spinal tap next week. So keep praying for her. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Amen. One more soul. That's what our prayers are. And this is the lost. You know, we've got more lost than we do on the physical needs right now. Anyone else? All right, as you know, the altar is always open. I'm going to ask Brother Gary if he would to come and open us up in prayer tonight. And just remember that we have no greater tool than praying. And feel free to come to the altar. Let's pray.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this time that we have to gather together to fellowship, to worship you, O God, to study your word, and Lord, to lift up our prayer requests to you. Lord, we know that you know each one. We know that you are the great physician. And Father, we just pray that you will touch these lives and the hearts, the minds of all these folks. We pray that you will strengthen them according to your will and your way. And Father, we pray for our time together, Lord, that you will just fill our hearts with your word, Lord, that we may better serve you in all areas of our life. So, Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, and we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
All right, which one you think? What do you think? That's where I had it turned open to already. I had it turned open to there. All right, be a lot of going through the scripture on this tonight, so you'll probably need to write it down. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we'll be looking at two verses there. But I want to ask you some questions as you turn to the Gospel of Mark. We know that there's four writers of the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. Somebody tell me who Matthew was or is. He was a tax collector. Exactly. And we know that he walked with Jesus. He beheld the ministry of Christ. And then there's John. What was John's job? He was a fisherman. Remember? He was the one that jumped in the water. Twice he was told by Christ, cast your nets on the other side. You see, we have a pretty good idea of who these people are. You know, we understand them. Those two, John and Matthew, both of them were basically the inner circle, along with one more, around Christ Jesus, and he poured himself into them more than he did the other of the disciples. How about Luke? What do you know about Luke? He's a physician, exactly. Did somebody say he was a Gentile? The only Gentile writer. Do you know that between the book of Acts and the book of Luke, that he, words-wise, takes up about 25% of the New Testament? Isn't that awesome that God would use a Gentile in that way? And then we do know, as it says over in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, that he was the physician, that he traveled with Paul and looked out for him and things like that. So who is John Mark? Yep. Anything else? What kind of job did he have? Did he have a very close relationship with Jesus Christ when he lived on earth? See, those is the things that we really don't know about John Mark. And over the past few weeks, I've been studying about men that had to be broken by God so they could be rebuilt by God. And listen to what it says here in Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 50. Then they all deserted him, talking about the apostles, because what has led up to this point is Jesus has been arrested. Judas has carried him, the centurion's in there. They've arrested him. And you can read that before. That's where he says, hey, you could have caught me at any time. Why are you coming at night like a thief when I've been in the temple? But notice what it says. When they all, the apostles, deserted him and ran away, now a certain young man, wearing nothing but a linen cloth, was following him. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth behind and ran away naked. How many of you has ever heard that scripture before? Well, I ain't going to preach on it, but I'm going to jump from it, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I praise you and I thank you for tonight. God, I thank you that you've given us a new day, and that your mercies and your grace are new with the rising of the sun. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, and that you may be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, again, this is the scene that led up to the kangaroo courts and all that went on there. And I believe, along with other scholars, that this is the first mention of John Mark, who we know as Mark. This is the first mention of him throughout all the scriptures. John MacArthur says this. He says it may have been that the Roman soldiers led by Judas, because now remember, Judas left before in the upper room. He left before Jesus said, let's go to the garden. You remember that? As he The spirit of Satan entered into him and he went out. So being led by Judas, they may have first went by the house of John Mark's mother. Because otherwise, how did Mark know to be in the garden that night? And what we're going to see later on is that John Mark's house, his mama's house, is a key area in the gospel of and the Christian church in Jerusalem after the resurrection. So it seems now, but we would assume as well that he did have a close relationship or at least knew Jesus Christ if he was there concerned that night. And we know that there are 12 apostles, remember, specifically called. But we're told over in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 6, 15, verse 6, that he was seen above 500, that he had been witnessed more than one or two or 12. And so as we think about who Mark is, we think about, one, he was raised in a Christian home. He had a relationship. He had a great privilege. His mother, the Barnabas, all those were workers in the kingdom. They lived the life out before them. A matter of fact, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, "She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greeting, as does Mark, my son." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. If you really get into the study of the scriptures, it almost looks like, you know how Paul was the mentor and spiritual father of Timothy? Then it seems like Peter is the one that had led, what we would say, led John Mark to the Lord, and then he took him in and he went with him. Now, the next reference that we find about John Mark is over in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. And you'll remember what this is. It's when Peter, he's been arrested for the second time, remember? And the Bible tells us that the angel came and that the angel freed him and opened up the gates and all that he went to do. But at the same time that they were praying. And you remember when we were praying for those three lost girls a few weeks ago? Do you know they found him in the middle of our prayer service? Is that not awesome that God... So in the same fashion, when Peter was in prison, they were gathered at the house of who praying? You remember? John Mark's mama's house. And they were praying for a specific thing. They wanted Peter to be set free. They were asking God to do a work, to do a great thing. And you remember what happened as he was released, when he realized, man, God is doing something amazing here. In Acts chapter 12, verse 12, as soon as Peter realized this, or God's miracle, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many had assembled to pray. Not only was he, and remember what happened, the lady went back and said, "Hey, Peter's at the door." And they said, "No, Peter's in jail." And he's like, "No, Peter is at the door." And we're like that sometimes. We pray for things, but do we pray expecting? Or do we just do it because we know we ought to pray that? Praise God. I believe they were expecting to see a miracle, but it even took them off guard. But he said he went to the place to play. So we see that John Mark, he was raised up, or at least brought up, in a Christian home. He had all the privileges of knowing the Old Testament. Then he had men that were active and engaged in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And also, he himself knew Jesus Christ. So we know those living in that house were vital to the work of Jesus. Mark was blessed to be raised up in this type of way. He was blessed to have a relative like Barnabas that we don't talk much about, but Barnabas carried the gospel to the Gentile world. And we also see that John Mark had the calling of God on his life with great potential concerning certain things. Like he said there back in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, that it seems that Mark is working alongside of Peter as they're out doing and working. But then something happens. Barnabas and Paul go out on their first mission, and guess who they take with them? John Mark. Acts chapter 12, verse 25, it says, "And after they had finished their relief mission, Barnabas and Paul returned to Jerusalem, taking along John, who was called Mark." So see, they were investing into this young man. They were putting into him. Why? Because, one, God, they saw something in him that God had placed in him. And two, they had a burden to carry him with them and to have him a part of the ministry. In Acts chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Arriving at Seleucia, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. They also had John, who we know as Mark, as their assistant." So we see, I mean, John Mark is one of those that's being prepped. I mean, they're prepping him, making him into what they, that he will either be a great pastor, great evangelist, great church planter, but they're working with him. They're investing their time. God has brought him up and blessed him in a home that is active in the things of Christ. But guess what? Mark is human as well. He had his personal flaws. If you look over in Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 15, verse 38. Acts chapter 15, verse 38. Anybody found that? Will you read it for us? Exactly. You see, Paul, it came down. They had took him off and they had brought him back. And they, Paul said to Barnabas, "We're not going to take John Mark on with us this time. We're not going to bring him with us." Why? Why was that? Because John Mark left the ministry at some point. He walked away. Acts chapter 15, verses 39 through 41 says, this is Barnabas and Paul talking. "They had a sharp disagreement that they parted company, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed off to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed after being commended by the brothers and sisters to the grace of the Lord. He traveled through Cilicia, strengthening the churches." You see that Paul had decided, "I'm not going to invest anymore in Mark. He's just shown me something and something I don't like." Matter of fact, I've got the verse in here somewhere where it says that he walked away. We don't know why he walked away from the ministry. We don't know why he left. But basically, we almost see that Paul is saying, I don't think Paul's saying I just give up on him completely. But if somebody's going to travel with me, I want to have some confidence in them. I want to know that they're going to be there. I want to know that if I need them, I can count on them. And something had happened that Mark left away. And now we see men that have traveled together. They have done awesome things. You remember when they went back to the Jerusalem council and began to tell of what God had done in the Gentiles' ministry. And then the council approved them to go out again and to serve. But it looks like that God is causing a split, or that the world is causing a split between two great missionaries. But this is what's been on my mind, especially since the resurrection. When the devil is seeming to do his worst, God is up to doing his best. Amen? When the devil is doing his worst, God is doing his best. You know, the Bible teaches us that what the devil has intended for our harm, God will use it for his glory and for our good. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. "You planned evil against me, but God planned it for good to bring about the present results." To bring it this way. It had to happen this way because God directed it to. John chapter 10, verse 10. "A thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly." Romans 8, 28. "We know that all things work together for good of those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose." At a quick glance, one can see that God used this situation in a great way. But here's the first thing. When Paul said, "Let's go again, Barnabas, let's go check on the churches," that would have only been one missionary group going out. But because of the issue between John Mark and Barnabas and Paul, what happened? We have two groups going out. We have Barnabas and John Mark, and then we have Paul and Silas, that they're going out. And even in the darkest of times, we've got to remember that God is working. God is working at the darkest hour. You know, probably, I don't know what Satan was thinking on the second and the third day when Jesus was in the grave, but I know the Sanhedrin were thinking, we've put him out. We don't have to worry about him anymore. We've done what we needed to do, but praise God, he is still able to take a dark time and turn it into a great ministry and a great blessing. This is not the end of John Mark. Now, had we stopped there, what would have happened? We don't know, but probably one thing, if Barnabas wouldn't have been willing to invest in Mark, would we have had the third gospel? I don't know. But I know God knew how to do it. And I knew he had a plan for everything that's went on there. And listen to what Paul ends up saying. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me, the physician, and bring Mark with you. Bring Mark. Why? Why does Paul want him to be brought in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11? For he is useful to me in the ministry. Is that not awesome? That is so great that Paul even could say, hey, I was doubting you at times, son, but praise God, I've seen the Holy Spirit raise you up. I've seen you ministering, and you know what? I need you with me right now. I've got Luke alone, so send Mark over to me. You know, that's the awesome thing about what the Lord does and how he can take the darkest things. I had somebody send me a text the other day that says flashlight goes out, you don't throw it away, you just change the batteries. And praise God, that's what God has to do to us sometimes. He has to get something inside of us burning again. He has to get something welled up within us, that spark. That's what I'm loving about being around our college and career age. They'll tell me, they'll say, there's something right here. There's just something right here. Even when I'm doing wrong, there's something right here. Hallelujah, man. I want that fire. I think we're not going to let them sit together over here in that one corner. We're going to spread them all the way out so that their Holy Ghost goosebumps can jump on everybody else, and we'll just have a shouted out fit. Amen? But Paul doesn't stop there. Listen. Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. I ain't going to say that first name. It starts with an A. My fellow prisoner sends you greeting, as does Mark, Barnabas' cousin, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. He's saying this now, not only do I want him with me, but I'm going to send him out for me. He is going to be a part, and praise God. God will do that to anybody. Anybody that's willing to confess their sins, to surrender themselves over to Christ Jesus, he will raise them up. And here's the conclusion. Every man, every woman, at some point in our lives will fall. You know, the Bible says this, that either we're going to fall on the rock or the rock's going to fall on us. One way, everybody that comes to Christ Jesus has to be broken at some point so that he can build us back up into his image. And that's what Jesus... In Paul's eyes, when he left them there, he was seen as a deserter. But you go back to the Old Testament, and there's a man named Jacob. And the Bible says he was the usurper, meaning he was a con man, the trickster, the idea of Loki, you know, the idea in gods and carnal gods. But God raised him up. He brought him back, and he gave him what name? Do you remember what's his name? He changed his name from Jacob to... Israel. And what does the name Israel mean? Prince with God. He found his identity in Christ Jesus. God can restore anyone. He can reconcile. Now think about this. He had to bring Paul and Barnabas back together, didn't he? Because it says they were divided sharply. But we know, did God do it? Yes, he did it. Also, he took the one that was a deserter has now become useful and beneficial to the things of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, for the gracious gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable, or they cannot be removed by any man, woman, boy, or girl. And God, when He gives us something, He gives it to us permanently. Salvation. So, just a little study there on John Mark. Did you learn anything about John Mark tonight? Now, if at least if I say, who is John Mark, you would be able to give an answer to the who that is. Any other thoughts about tonight's lesson? Or maybe a question. What is it? He had to, right? Or he was probably known as J.M. Old J.M. down the road there. But it's amazing when you get in Scripture and it just, you read things that you've never seen before. And God, and it becomes so obvious sometimes when you're reading, you're like, wow, why hadn't I seen that? But God gives it to us as we need it. He opens up the door for us as we are mature enough to take it. You know, sometimes we just ain't ready. Any other thoughts or questions on tonight's lesson? Sunday night, we will be beginning a study in the book of Ephesians. One of the books that I've been reading in says that many scholars believe that the book of Ephesians is the crown of all of Paul's writings, meaning that it's the best. I lean to Philippians as it being the best, and then Ephesians after that. But anything else before we close?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen. Amen. Did I tell you about that Judas had already gone, and some scholars believe that they had went to Mary's house first looking for Jesus, and it was there they found out that he was in the garden. Yeah, they were trying to follow. But the one thing that got me is, why would you just wear a linen cloth out there? I mean, it's just, it's some of those things that are puzzling, and you just, yeah, yeah, and that's the awesome thing about the movie series The Chosen. What they've got, a Jewish rabbi, a Catholic priest, and a Baptist minister. And they're bringing the knowledge they have together to show us the Gospels. And it just helps things fill it out better. You know what I mean? It helps you understand and recognize. And I mean, do you think that Peter got along with Matthew at first? Because see, Matthew was the sellout, right? Remember, he was making his money through the Romans. You know, and remember how the tax collectors was. You got a certain amount and gave it to Rome, but if you could get more than that, you put it in your pocket. You reckon Matthew had to look Peter in the eye one day when Peter came in to pay his taxes? And then he shows up going to be a part of the 12? I mean, it's human. It makes it human again. So if you can watch it, watch it. It's a good one. Anything else? Amen. Amen. It's an amazing word. And Paul, you remember Paul went off for 3 or even 4 years, wasn't it? Anything else? How's your brother doing, Brother Jeff? Alrighty. We'll keep praying for him. All right. Brother JC, do you mind coming and closing us out tonight?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for another day, Lord. Thank you for the many blessings you give us. Thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. Tonight, we ask you also to be with each and every one of those prayer requests, whether it's spiritual or medical or whatever. You know what they need, Lord. We ask you to be with each one of those. We ask you to be with our pastor and his family, and be with Sister Melissa as well. We thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you most of all for your Son. We love you and we appreciate you. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Amen. God bless y'all.